It's obvious now that I was not doing the right thing, and at the time I thought I was. Mm-hmm. Now it seems, I can't believe I behaved that way, but that was the world that I had created.
Welcome to the Juggling the Chaos of Recovery podcast, where we focus on health, wellness, and overcoming all types of addictions. You're in the right place if you're a mom, dad, friend, sibling, or caregiver who has a loved one who is or was struggling with an eating disorder or any other kind of addiction. In a time when everything seems heavy, I'm here to bring you a real yet lighthearted take on what the heck we are all supposed to do with our lives while we care for our loved ones who are struggling. One thing holds true throughout it all. You can't juggle the chaos without smiling, at least a little bit. Well, welcome to another episode of the podcast, the Juggling the Chaos of Recovery podcast. I'm your host, Moira Gorski. Another day today where I get to bring to you a guest of mine, somebody that I've met just recently, and really, I think, has some really cool things to share with us, and always love when I can bring guests on the podcast. Now, today, I met Kevin through someone else, Matt Browning, who helped me with the launch of my podcast. So Matt and Kevin met at a podcasting conference type of thing. And he heard what Kevin's all about and his story and thought he'd be a great connection for me, which he definitely is. So Kevin Burciaga is the creator of the Empowered Eating System. And Kevin dealt with multiple eating disorders in his 20s before he developed his own method to overcome them. Now he teaches his method, the Empowered Eating System, to students, young professionals, athletes, and men to help them eat right anytime, anywhere. Kevin is a physical therapist and a YouTuber. He's also a son and a brother. And in his free time, he likes to work out, read, learn, make videos, and to travel. So welcome, Kevin, to the podcast today.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Absolutely. So as we always start out, let's start out with your story. You know, as it said, you dealt with multiple eating disorders in your 20s. And can you tell us a little bit about kind of the origins of that, kind of what your story is all about?
It started well. I was 20 years old and I just became very interested in nutrition and fitness and wellness, which isn't a bad thing to be interested in. Mm-hmm. I'm still interested in that today. And I remember I decided to go pescatarian. So just shrimp and fish and fruits and vegetables. So that I had the right intention and things were going okay for a few months. But then I started losing weight. Then I tried to give blood and I was anemic, so they couldn't accept the blood. Hmm. And then I remember there was this bleeding behind my eye, and I still to this day don't know what it was. I suspect there was something wrong with the pituitary gland, but no definitive diagnosis there. Mm-hmm. And then my testosterone collapsed. People were concerned, and this coincided with a change in the way I ate. I was super regimented. I weighed everything. I counted everything. I planned everything. It was just, I was so obsessed about what I ate and what I was going to eat next. And so instead of becoming healthier, I actually damaged my health, both physically and mentally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that story is fairly common with people. You know, they realize at a point in their life that they want to get a little healthier. And so they make some changes and sometimes it's all just good, right? They make some healthy mm-hmm. changes and that sets them on a healthier path. And unfortunately, sometimes it leads now to a not so great path.
I like to say intentions are good, but execution's everything. Mm-hmm. So right. If you want to go vegetarian, vegan, I guess we can talk about that in a little bit. That's fine, but you've got to execute it correctly, which I did not. And mm-hmm. It cost me a lot of time and a lot of energy in my 20s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How do you feel that it impacted your kind of your mental health, as you mentioned there?
I couldn't focus. I was always thinking about my diet and what I was eating and my own health. And it affected my performance at school, it affected my performance at work. I just couldn't concentrate. That's a huge loss. yes, there's the physical, there are the physical consequences, but the inability to control your mind, control your thoughts. And that's a lot of space in your mind when you're always thinking about it. And it started to creep into other areas of my life. And that's, so it cost me not just time and money, but just a lot of mental energy that was wasted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You kind of give, you know, you give all that energy, if you will, that the time, that thinking to that one thing. And
yeah,
when it's a good thing, right? I mean, there's a book called The One Thing. So when you focus on the one thing, and it's good and it's leading you to success and healthy relationships and things like that, then it's all good. But when it's leads to obsessions and preoccupation, and sounds like perhaps you weren't present so much with your life, with your relationships.
No, it wasn't. This was an isolated part of my life. No friends, no social life. I was in college. Usually in college, you have a vibrant social life. Right? You're in these fraternities and these other clubs. I was not. I was completely detached. I was self-centered, only thinking about myself. I guess a lot of young adults are at that age, but I was to the extreme, only thinking about what was good for me now. I had no goals. I don't know what I thought my future was going to be at that time. Today I have a much better idea, but then I don't recall sitting down and thinking about my future. I just wanted to finish college and leave the place where I grew up, but no other details.
Right. So you mentioned a little bit that some people were concerned. I mean, what made you, I mean, I've said before in the podcast, you know, you can't fix what you can't face. You know, what was it that, was it just a realization yourself, or did friends say something? What was it that made you realize that you might have, you know, some type of issue and perhaps you needed to seek some help or make some changes?
Comments from coworkers and gentle comments. And then obviously comments from my family, and just going from one doctor's appointment to another and getting chin splints, and I had to have a testosterone replacement. I mean, how many 22-year-olds need a testosterone replacement? And how many 22-year-old males have no sex drive? Mm-hmm. So it seems obvious now, but I was so self-absorbed, and I was in a way in denial. I thought I was doing the healthy thing, which is the irony of it all, that it's obvious now that I was not doing the right thing. And at the time I thought I was. Mm-hmm. Now it seems, I can't believe I behaved that way, but that was the world that I had created.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And the lie that became the law, right? You know, the lies that perhaps, I don't know, I've heard that before. I've read that. I'm not sure who said that, but sometimes the lies that we're telling ourselves, we make them the law, and it's not so good. So you were in college, and were you out of college when you, like, how did it go that, again, you started to make some changes and realize that you needed to make some changes so you could live to be a healthier 20 and 30 year old and beyond?
It started when I was in college, but it got worse after college. Mm-hmm. And between college and grad school, that was a 4-year gap. And between that time, I taught English abroad. I did personal training. I was a admin assistant while I was going back to school, because I didn't know what I wanted to do when I was in college. So I had to go back and do it right the first, you know, what I should have done the first time. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a common story too. And then I went to grad school, and I thought things would get better in grad school because now I was going to be on my own for the first time in a way. You know, I was I was in a different state, new environment, fresh start. I was going to be busy. And in fact, it only got worse. Mm-hmm. So I was pretty devastated when I got there and I realized that, I had brought all of my habits with me, mm-hmm. that a change in environment was not the answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard that before. Again, my daughter has gone through similar things. We've had some hopeful times that she lived in a different state, and we thought this very same thing. You know, a different place, some place that no one knows who you are, right? And you can get that fresh start. But sometimes, everywhere you go, there you are. So there you were, right?
Yeah, it sounds cheesy, but it is true. Mm-hmm. Wherever you go, there you are. You're the problem. You are the solution. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to believe that. So I thought that some external force was going to do all the change for me. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't true. I was always a solution. I always had to accept that. But I always had this hope that the next change in my life, the next phase of my life would change everything. Mm-hmm. It was never true.
Yeah. Yeah. So what was it that, what would you say is what really helped you start to make those shifts and make some changes into, I mean, did you seek traditional treatment? Did you go into a program? Did you do it on your own?
I had to do it on my own. I never went into a program, never got therapy. I did have a few therapy sessions very early on. I was 22, 23, but that was only a few sessions. Mm-hmm. But I never went to like inpatient rehab or anything like that. I didn't want to tell anybody because I always thought change was right around the corner. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not going to tell anybody. So, because I'm going to change next week and then next month and then next year. And next thing you know, I've wasted an entire decade. And the second part of that question was what made me change? I think I had to fail so many times to realize that whatever my approach was, whether it was abstinence or willpower, was not going to be the answer. And the answer was going to be a change in my beliefs. And I had to have a sense of urgency. And I had to realize that there was no better day to change than today. Mm-hmm. But that was hard to accept because that meant that I had to do the hard work now, mm-hmm. not in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes it's hard to accept our failures too.
It's hard to realize that you're never going to be, that the person you've been dreaming of becoming is today. I don't know if that makes sense, but we always assume that the future version of ourselves is going to be stronger, is going to have more willpower, is going to be able to do incredible things, but that person is you now. Mm-hmm. And that's hard to accept, mm-hmm. because it means you have to take action today. There's no excuse. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No waiting for tomorrow, as you said.
Yeah. And you can't say tomorrow I will. It's now, it's today I will. Mm-hmm. And that's hard to accept.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and again, we're bringing up different cliches and things, but we get comfortable with where we're at, be it good or bad. You know, we have that comfort level and got to get yourself uncomfortable to make those changes.
It's like staying in an abusive relationship or staying in a job you don't want. It's like, why would you stay? What's making you stay? Well, it's familiar.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There is a certain level of security and comfort and staying. And I wanted to quit, but I didn't because I was so comfortable in that situation. Mm-hmm. Even though I had all of these intentions and dreamed of quitting and tomorrow I'm gonna quit. But really I liked it. It was an easy life, kind of a sloppy life. It didn't require, I didn't have high standards. And it's more comfortable to have low standards because you don't demand too much of yourself.
That's interesting. I always like to talk about, if you're comfortable with it, you know, relationships that you had, with your parents or with your friends, you know, did this, disordered eating, the eating disorders, you know, did this impact your relationship with your folks, with your friends, and how did it, if it did?
Oh, it didn't affect the relationships, but it made me more isolated. Mm-hmm. And I always felt like I was hiding something. Mm-hmm. And so, because I didn't want to tell them, I was good at hiding the evidence. And I never felt like I was honest with them. Mm-hmm. And that's a horrible feeling that you can't be honest with the people in your life. And I never hurt anybody, but it definitely altered my relationship with them. I don't know if they suspected anything was wrong. They must have noticed the changes in my physical appearance, but mm-hmm. I don't think they ever suspected an eating disorder. Mm-hmm. I think they just attributed that to natural changes. But it's easier to have a social life and normal relations when you don't have an addiction or an eating disorder.
Right. Right. And have you shared your story with your folks? And, you know, now that you've gotten past this and you're helping others with what you've learned?
To a limited extent, I haven't shared with them the grisly details. Mm-hmm. It's funny in a way, I'm more comfortable sharing these details with you and anonymous people on YouTube than I am with my own family. Mm-hmm. It's like I prefer not to go back to that time in my life. Maybe in the future, mm-hmm. I'll be a little more comfortable, but I've shared with them the highlights.
Yeah.
Right. I don't think they know all of the details.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I found that even with my own, eating disorder in college, I certainly know at that point, I mean, I hardly understood it myself, let alone my parents, you know, really understanding it. And, you know, as my daughter has had her struggles, I know she'll often say that you just don't understand. And I certainly don't, because I'm not in her mind and her body. And yeah. I certainly know my parents, even as they've watched her, they don't really understand. It's a hard, and I think, I mean, I've seen it again with different treatment programs and whatnot. There's not a lot of males there. I mean, there are some, but I think many think of eating disorders as it's one of the things that the girls have.
Yeah, that's part of the challenge. It's only something that 21-year-old female athletes get. Mm-hmm. Well, that's definitely not true. We know that.
Right.
But there definitely is a stigma mm-hmm. Attached to eating disorders that only women get this. And if you're a man, somehow you're a failure, or that mm-hmm. you have a girl disease.
Mm, yeah.
And so then what happens is that a lot of men who have the problem suffer in silence. Mm-hmm. They're less likely to seek help, whether it's therapy, a coach, rehab. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a man's natural attitude. I can fix this on my own. I don't need help. I don't need to listen to anybody. Mm-hmm. So you have a man's natural instinct combined mm-hmm. with the stigma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And then, right. They're not asking for the help. So how did you create this empowered eating system? And, you know, you did, again, you studied to be a physical therapist but what led you to what you're doing now?
One good thing about having all these eating disorders is that it made me interested in the mind and neuroscience and psychology and heuristics. You know, how do we make decisions? You know, why do people behave the way they do? So during all that time, I was studying this along with, you know, nutrition and physiology. Mm-hmm. And I think, and so that's the origin of my whole system. It's my experience combined with science. So it's not like, well, this is my experience, therefore I know it works. It's my experience combined with all of these other disciplines. Mm-hmm. That's how I know it works. And reading what we now know about addiction and what we know about behavioral change. So I like to combine experience with science. Mm-hmm. I think that's more powerful than one alone.
Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely. I think that, again, we do become experts by experience, you know, but I think, again, the fact that you've taken it that step farther and, you know, coupled it with what you've learned and the science behind it, I think is very powerful.
Yeah, I would binge and fast or binge and purge, and then in my free time read about addiction and right. You know, and behavior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny how life is, the things that we do. Did you have particular books or studies or, you know, things that really helped you learn about kind of human behavior and the mind?
I liked Thinking Fast and Slow by Daniel Kahneman. That one isn't necessarily about addictions, but it is about behavior and the way people make decisions. So I recommend that one. One author I highly recommend is Kelly McGonigal. She was a Stanford psychologist, and she wrote one back when I was in grad school. This is like Willpower Instinct. I think that's what it's called. I've read that 4 or 5 times. So if there was one book I had to recommend on this, it would be that one. Hmm. What I realized when I read that is that people fall for the same traps, and we have these same habits and the same circuits and the same logic, and we hear the same voices, and then we behave in the same way. So I realized after reading that I was not alone. Mm-hmm. And she's written more about that subject. And now she has another one, like The Joy of Exercise, which I have not read yet, but that is definitely in the queue. So Kelly McGonigal, I think she has a TED Talk, but very interesting author.
And so would you say, and who, like, as you help people with your eating system, I mean, who is your ideal client? Is it someone that has an eating disorder, or is, you know, in recovery, or is it an athlete, or somebody that wants to lose weight, or all of the above, or?
Usually a desire to lose weight comes with the eating disorder. It doesn't necessarily have to be an eating disorder. It can be disordered eating, which is slightly different. That's not a clinical classification, but somebody who's a disordered eater spends too much time thinking about it. Mm-hmm. And they have an unhealthy fixation on it. So it's kind of like orthorexia, where they just have a lot of rules and regulations, and they're always preoccupied with what they're eating. I get a lot of those people. I do get people who are binge eating, who are binging and purging. But I'm looking for people who understand that they have a problem, and they realize that now is the time to fix it. Mm-hmm. You know, who have a sense of urgency, and they realize that this is something they need to get fixed now, mm-hmm. not later.
Yeah.
Don't do what I did. Don't wait for those perfect times, because they're not going to come.
Right.
Or at least not for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So fix it now and save your 20s. Because a lot of people who come to me are in that age, and I don't want them to waste their 20s.
Mm-hmm.
So do it now.
Right.
That's what I say.
Right. Yeah. So for those that don't, so orthorexia, like the definition of that is, for those that don't know,
orthorexia, it's not a clinical classification, so technically not an eating disorder or an EDNOS, not otherwise stated.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a real thing. It's when you become preoccupied with food and you think about it too much. So sometimes it's like half the time you're thinking about it, and you develop a lot of rituals and you have a lot of rules, and it's regimented. And when you can't eat at the exact time that you want and the exact portions that you want, you get really anxious. You're always concerned about your weight and calories and macros. But it's an unhealthy preoccupation with food. Mm-hmm. Is a simple definition.
Right.
Yeah.
And do you feel like what do you think about, I feel like some of the trends, if you will, that come out, you know, like the macros or, you know, or the vegans or the vegetarians or the pescatarian, you know, I feel like sometimes those trends and like, oh, or the keto diet or the whatever, again, I'm somebody that says, hey, you know what, do your research and whatever, and it's not a one size fits all life. And so not every one thing works for everybody, but I also kind of feel like sometimes those things come up, if you will, and it's, and people kind of fixate on them, and it's more like a fix, like a disorder, you know, a fixation kind of thing, as opposed to really, is that like a healthy way of eating?
No, even if the diet were healthy, the cost on your mental health is not worth it. Mm-hmm. So you have to consider that. Your health is more than what you eat. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying diet doesn't count. It certainly does. Mm-hmm. But you have to consider your mental health and your focus. And if you're thinking about one thing all the time, I don't think you're healthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's so much more to life. And you shouldn't be focused on these little details that aren't making a difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You know, what's your philosophy about finding kind of the right, because it's, I mean, again, with your eating system, is it that you kind of work, is it kind of a plan that someone follows, or do you work with someone and kind of find what works best for them? I mean, what's your philosophy on kind of, again, finding the right eating plan, the diet, the lifestyle that works for someone?
I preach flexibility, and I don't prescribe a meal plan or any one particular diet. I do think you should start with whole foods. You know, let's just start there. I think every major diet plan can agree on that you minimize mm-hmm. processed food, you minimize the flour, the added sugar. I would say even the vegetable oils, but you know, we can debate that. Everybody can agree on that. And I think most people do well when they add carbs to their diet. That's not going to be true for everybody, but just in my experience, when people add carbs, they feel better. Mm. That's individual. I think what people should do is experiment. And if you're in your 20s or 30s, you probably already know what works best for you. Just because you've eaten so many times. For example, I know I would not do well on a keto diet. Mm-hmm. I don't like meat
neither.
Very much. I don't like high fat foods. I've never liked butter. I've never liked cheese. Count me out. Okay. Now for somebody else, that might work mm-hmm. as long as it's sustainable and it doesn't require too many rules and it doesn't interfere with your lifestyle. If it makes you healthier, go for it. Mm-hmm. But like I said, most people do well when they add carbs, not when they subtract carbs. And of course, mm-hmm. it depends on the kind of carbs you're eating, but be flexible, try different foods, experiment. You're going to find what works best for you.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like there's any, have you heard of the eat right for your blood type? Have you heard of that before?
Yeah, I've heard that. I haven't seen too much validity for that. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're, for example, I'm A positive, that. I mean, what if I find out that A positives do well on a keto diet? I still don't think I would do a keto diet.
Right, right. You and I, we are similar because I'm an A plus two. I looked at some guidelines or, you know, charts in the book once, and we tend to be, at least I, you know, it said A positives tend to be more towards the vegetarian route. And that made sense for me. When I read that, I was like, huh. Because that's really what I would prefer is more the vegetables and the plants. And now I still like, you know, a good Italian sausage and some chicken and fish and seafood and all that kind of stuff. But I don't know. I think it's interesting. I, like you, love to learn and just be introduced to different things. And I try to do that with my own clients, with my wellness businesses. Here, these are some choices, and then you make, you know, you decide. Mm-hmm. Like you said, be flexible, try things out, and then, you know, find something that really works for you.
Exactly. Well, yeah. maybe A positives are attracted to vegetarian, vegan diets. I didn't need to know my blood type to do that. Mm-hmm. I didn't choose a plant-based diet because I am A positive, and I've read some book that told me to do that. I just naturally gravitated towards that. Mm-hmm. For the same reason that a lot of endurance athletes naturally gravitate towards a high carb plant-based diet. Why? Because it works for that sport. Mm-hmm. So everything balances in the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and I think you're like, I think it's key, like you said, to be flexible, to be open-minded, to learn, and, you know, just not be so rigid.
Exactly. Yeah. And I give myself permission to eat anything and everything, even if it is processed food. As long, if I have a strong craving for it and I really just, I want to have it, I'm going to allow myself to have it. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to have it in excessive portions. And even though I am plant-based, once in a while, I'll have some salmon, or if I'm going to my mom's house, she usually has some sort of meat, you know, I'm going to partake in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know,
but I'm not going to be a slave to some diet god, mm-hmm. or, you know, some textbook.
Right.
You know, I like that flexibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's good. So you're all over YouTube. You got some awesome videos there. What made you decide to share in that media?
I've always enjoyed YouTube. I've been watching YouTube since 08. Mm-hmm. So I've kind of seen it evolve over the years. So I've watched so many videos, and then I had this message that I wanted to spread. I said, why don't I start a YouTube channel? Why mm-hmm. not? We live in this video age. Mm-hmm. You know, this is the age of video, and probably even more so now that we're spending so much time online and at home. Mm-hmm. So I had this message, and I wanted to get on video. And people always ask me, Kevin, do you do radio shows? You know, you have the right voice for it. And I said, no, I don't do radio, but I do YouTube at mm-hmm. least. And now apparently I'm doing podcasts. So
that's right.
I've always been comfortable on video. And I've always been comfortable speaking. So to me, it was a natural fit. I just enjoy being on YouTube, whether I'm making videos or I'm watching videos. It is truly a blessing.
Yeah. Well, I think it shows, in my humble opinion, it shows how far you've come, you know, in your own sense of, you know, self-worth and self-confidence, the fact that you can put yourself out there on video for all to see. I think you've come a long ways from, again, what I know with my own eating disorder and others that I, you know, that I've known, and with my daughter. I mean, again, you have this, it becomes like this secretive lifestyle, and you just don't want to be around others, and, you know, you're kind of hiding, and now you're not. And I give you props or kudos and all that for that, because again, it's it shows me, and I hopefully it shows others, that you really, you know, you're practicing what you really believe in, and you've really come a long ways in that confidence. And again, I love the fact that people, when they do have a story and things that they've really learned, they then have a heart and a passion to help others.
Yeah exactly. And you can do that these days.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, you mentioned a couple of books. You said you love to travel. I love to travel. I mean, what would you say? You have a favorite place that you've traveled to?
Mexico is probably my favorite. Mm-hmm. It's cheap. It's fun. Mm-hmm. You can do a lot of things that you can't do here.
Right. Right.
Food's great. People are hospitable. You know, great beaches, classic cities. Mm-hmm. And it's right next door.
Yep.
Probably can't visit it now, but in a few months. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Definitely go to Mexico.
Yep. Yeah. Have you been to Cabo?
I haven't been down to Cabo. No, I've been into the interior of Mexico. Mm-hmm. I've never made it down there. I'm not into the resort cities mm-hmm. too much. But there's so many great places in Mexico.
Oh, yeah. I just happened. Yeah, I've gone to Cabo on a incentive trip that I earned. And I like it on that side because it's not as, it's a drier heat. And so, you know, a lot of times on the other side, it's just a lot of humidity. And and so, I don't know, I love that about Cabo. So as we get off track a little bit, but again, I love to travel. And that's something that I'm looking forward to doing as this travel ban is lifted and there's more opportunities for that. So as we wrap this up, again, I really appreciate you coming on today and sharing. I want to make sure that people know where to find you. And then just kind of why don't you do that? Why don't you share how people can find you? Obviously, you're on YouTube. Is it your name? Is it Empowered Eating? How would people find you on YouTube?
Just type in my name, Kevin Burciaga. I should be the first one. I don't know how many Kevin Burciagas there are on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And then website, kevinburciaga.com/empowered-eating.
Okay. All right. And then any like last words to say to the listeners, you know, who again the listeners are people that may be in the midst of their struggle, parents, friends of those, or, you know, what would be your kind of last words there?
Sure. You don't have to change everything in one day. You can just change one thing. Mm-hmm. And you're on the road to recovery. Just one thing. Just make one positive addition to your life and do that every day. Mm-hmm. And your life is going to be really different in 6 months.
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
Yeah. And don't be afraid to ask for a little bit of help if you need a little help along the way.
Absolutely.
You know, again, I see you as somebody that could really help somebody and certainly help the male population that, you know, perhaps is looking for just a little bit of help and somebody that's real and, you know, cool and, you know, has been there. So.
Yeah, exactly. It's not hard to find help these days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Got to be willing to ask though.
Yes.
So, yeah. Well, thanks, Kevin. This was awesome. I'm glad you spent a few, a little bit of time with me. And again, thank you to the listeners who, I thank you for coming back as I continue to share some hope and some, again, great connections with people that can help us live our best life. And again, just really love the message here of we aren't perfect. We do have failures, but let's be honest and let's make some healthy choices, some, you know, choices. Even if it's just one thing you do different today, it'll start to lead you into a much happier life. So thanks again, Kevin. Thanks again, everybody, for listening, and we'll catch you next time. Thanks for listening. Do you feel like your juggling of your chaos is just too much and you want to reclaim your life and health? I'm here to help. I offer free 30-minute consultations where I can show you simple steps to help you get back on track. If you're interested, please connect with me. You can do that simply by reaching out on Instagram and send me a DM at Green Gorski or email me at Moira@GorskiWellness.com. Moira is spelled M-O-Y-R-A. I look forward to hearing from you and take care.